Is money a feminist issue? It is, according to Tori Dunlap, author of the instant bestseller, Financial Feminist, Overcome the Patriarchy's Bullshit to Master Your Money and Build a Life You Love. A writer, podcaster, and educator, Tori is the founder of Her First 100K, and she's devoted her career to helping women educate themselves about money and achieve financial security. Here's Tori to share five of her big ideas.
My name is Tori Dunlap. I'm an internationally recognized financial educator with an audience of almost 4 million. I've been featured in the New York Times, Good Morning America, The Today Show, and more. I'm the host of the top business podcast, Financial Feminist, and I was recently inducted into the Forbes 30 Under 30 class of 2022. I was put on this earth to help women build wealth and to fight for their financial rights. My book, Financial Feminist, Overcome the Patriarchy's BS to Master Your Money and Build a Life You Love, is part guidebook, part manifesto on how the patriarchal money myths have gatekept financial education and access from women, people of color, and other marginalized groups. Today, I'm sharing the first part of Chapter 1 of Financial Feminist, where I touch on the five patriarchal money myths. These are the common stories or mindsets that keep you from becoming financially educated, stable, and confident. These are the hoops you have to jump through in order to assemble your financial foundation. And these might seem familiar to you. Research shows that our money habits are cemented by age 7, second grade, which means that these myths have likely been living in your mind and manifesting in your financial journey for most of your life. In order to create a new and healthy mindset around money, we must first understand them and recognize them when they crash the party. Narrative number one. You should just know how to money. I cannot tell you how often someone in our community of financial feminists says, sorry for the stupid question, before asking a then incredibly valid question about money. This kind of feeling, this idea that you're always behind or that everyone else has some sort of secret knowledge you don't, is a myth. You didn't come out of the womb knowing how to tie your shoes or play the tuba or speak fluent Italian, yet we somehow expect ourselves to just know how to navigate a challenging and very gatekept financial system. The shame around not knowing how to money impacts every single financial decision we'll make. We call it the ostrich effect, where you keep your head in the sand because it's just easier not to know. But to overcome this, you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. It's one of the many ways the patriarchy keeps you from building wealth. This expectation that you should know how to money, and then the shame you feel later because you're not engaging with money. This shame keeps women from engaging with money at all. Men are often brought up with the expectation of knowing money, but they are also more likely to receive education from an early age about money. So grabbing a copy of Financial Feminist is a great way to start overcoming the shame so you can feel more financially confident. Narrative number two, talking about money is impolite. You've heard this one. We've all heard this one. We're more likely to talk about sex, death, politics, religion, literally any other taboo or uncomfortable topic before we'll talk about money. And this narrative is one of the most egregious because it often keeps us underpaid, overworked, and with no idea that's even happening. We are told this narrative through our entire lives. But here's the thing. Men are having conversations about money. They're talking about stocks. They're talking about bonuses. They're talking about real estate. And this narrative in general hurts every single person. You don't understand you're being underpaid because you don't know what other people are making. Debt makes you feel siloed or alone because you don't understand it's a common problem. If this book gets you to do anything, let it be to talk about money. We teach you how to get comfortable talking about money with your friends, family, coworkers, and your partner. Financial transparency is one of the fastest ways to grow your wealth and to start changing the equation for every single person. And we've got scripts in the book to help you navigate those conversations. Narrative number three, the bootstraps theory, aka you'll be rich if you just work hard. This is the ultimate shaming tactic and completely ignores centuries of systemic oppression, structural racism, and discrimination. And yet, it is one of the most common narratives perpetuated in regular personal finance books. More traditional finance experts have told you that the reason you're not rich is because you don't work hard enough. But a single mother working two jobs and raising a kid doesn't need to be told to try harder or to make more money. She needs social structures and access to reliable childcare. I spend a good part of this book going through how we can improve the things we can control and then work to change the systemic issues at a societal level. Narrative number four, wanting money is, quote, selfish, unless you're a man. When I first shared about my journey of saving $100,000 at age 25, I was shocked at how many people, especially on the internet, decided that I was, one, greedy, and two, asked very invasive questions about if/how I was being charitable with my money, insinuating that I was somehow a bad person for building wealth, unless I was giving it all away. Then I'd flip to the next video of Elon Musk simply existing, and the same people groveling at his feet over his accumulation of wealth were the same people criticizing me. I think of the perfect example of a group of men posting a photo on Instagram on the golf course, and one of them has a Rolex. The comments on that post are, "Cool Rolex, bro. Looks like you're doing well for yourself." But if a woman has the audacity to post a photo in a designer dress, we tell her that she's a frivolous spender. We tell her that she's selfish and that she should be donating more. We condition women to be altruistic, and then we threaten that altruism as soon as women become uncontrollable. Because as soon as they start building wealth, that's when they become uncontrollable. Women are expected to give and give and give, while men are praised for their lavish purchases and looked up to for the same things women are shamed for. As my business grew, I found myself feeling shame around having this successful business. This narrative showed up in my conversations with friends as well. It's especially insidious as it begs women to play small, to stay hidden, instead of actively pursuing wealth and growth. When you are avoiding pursuing wealth, you are controllable. So overcoming this narrative is key to changing your money story. Finally, narrative number five. Quote, money can't buy you happiness, aka wanting money is evil. This is a direct quote from my book. The idea that money can't buy you happiness is bullshit. What money can buy you is healthcare. What money can buy you is food on the table. What money can buy you is stability. And I don't want a stack of government-issued paper that doesn't get me anything. I want to use money as a tool. I want what money can buy, which is freedom and choices and options. Freedom to leave toxic workplaces or abusive partners, or to live where you want, or buy groceries or repair your car, to afford simple luxuries without guilt. Money can't buy you happiness is what the patriarchy says when you show interest in becoming financially educated, when you start gaining power. It's meant to keep you playing financially small. This entire book is about playing big. This book is about breaking through every glass ceiling, knocking down every gate, and then helping the people around you do the same. Shedding these myths is only part one, but it's an important first step. This is only one section of the very first chapter of this book, but it lays the foundation for the following chapters on how to overcome your financial trauma, how to spend mindfully without deprivation, how to budget without wanting to die, how to invest using stable, long-term, consistent strategies, how to pay off debt, how to negotiate your salary, and how to vote with your dollars. More than that, though, it's about utilizing money tools to not only gain your financial foundation, but to show up more confident in every aspect of your life and to start changing the systems that are inequitable. Sure, this book can make you great with money, but it will also show you how to live a financially feminist lifestyle and change the world.
Thank you, Tori. That was Tori Dunlap with five big ideas from Financial Feminist: Overcome the Patriarchy's Bullshit to Master Your Money and Build a Life You Love. Also, check out our book bite for One Bold Move a Day: Meaningful Actions Women Can Take to Fulfill Their Leadership and Career Potential by Shauna Hocking. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.